SBS στα ελληνικά.
Recently, SBS reported that gambling addiction is a hidden problem, particularly within migrant communities. A paper published by the Australian Gambling Research Centre back in 2016 noted that the non-English speaking groups were less likely to gamble than the broader Australian population, and those who did were more likely to develop problems.
It's a great pleasure to have here at the studios of the Greek program of SBS Radio the Chief Executive of Victoria Responsible Gambling Foundation, Ms. Louise Glanville.
Thank you.
And the foundation's board member, Tas Mousaferiades, a Greek Australian. My first question goes to you, Ms. Glanville.
Please feel free to call me Louise.
Thank you. Thank you, Louise. So let's start with simple things like, what is gambling addiction? Is it as serious as a drug addict or alcohol addiction? And what are some of the signs of it?
We really start by the question of addiction is a complicated one, I think. And at the Victorian Responsible Gambling Foundation, we've done a lot of work and research on harm. And we know that while many people can gamble without harm, that there is a spectrum of harm. And it can be low-level harm, moderate-level harm, or in fact, severe-level harm. In Victoria, about 550,000 people would experience some form of harm from gambling. If you think about severe harm, we know that for every one person who's experiencing severe harm, up to six members of their perhaps family or community would also experience some harm as a consequence of that. For those who experience moderate harm, it's up to about three additional people. And for those who experience even low-risk harm, one additional person will be affected. And I think often the way we see this is in terms of perhaps financial hardship for people, people in emotional distress. They might be feeling very anxious. They might be quite committed to trying to win back what they've lost. We see family breakdown and a range of other things that could indicate that the harm was quite significant.
So are there specific things that cause people to gamble, to become gambling addicts?
I think it is a question that we are continually researching, and what we know about individuals is that sometime events in their life will cause them some stress, and that may result in them, if they perhaps have been gambling relatively reasonably and without harm, these events might lead them to experience more harm. Sometimes it can be a separation or perhaps losing your job, your employment, just feeling out of control with a few areas in your life. You might seek some refuge, and that this can actually be one of the circumstances that does occur.
Mm-hmm. So according to the latest Australian gambling statistics, nationally, Australians gambled almost $24 billion in the financial year 2015-2016, which is $1,300 per person. And it's a 3.9% rise from the year before. So the problem is getting worse. Why is gambling so attractive to Australians?
So let me answer that in a few ways. I think we need to start by acknowledging that gambling does contribute to the economy in some ways. And if you recognise that many people can gamble without harm, then that's an important sort of contribution to be made. However, I think the reason why people perhaps become involved in more risky behaviour can be many and varied. So take young people is a really good example. Young men in particular, but young people generally. I don't know if you're a sports follower, but whether you're watching soccer or footy or whatever it might be, you see often continuous advertising. And at the foundation, we're troubled by that because it begins to make the connection, for example, between sport, enjoying sport, and advertising about betting and gambling. It normalises them. It says that's the connection. If you do one, perhaps you have to do the other. And so for us, it's about disrupting that and saying, well, it's okay to gamble if you do it in a way that's safe, but do people understand what creates a safe gambling environment and how are the things that people need to think about in order to be safer?
I'm glad you mentioned kids and gambling, because I have some statistics about kids in Greece and in Cyprus. So, I mean, in European Union, in total, 7% of children under 18 is gambling at least twice per month. Mm. In Greece, 16% under 18 gambles every week. Mm. In Cyprus, 75% of the population over the age of 15 gambles, and the Cypriots start to gamble from the age of 12 and a half. Someone would probably say gambling is part of our culture. What do you answer to that as a member of a large ethnic community?
Gambling in some form has been always been part of our culture. As a child, I remember my father playing backgammon with my uncles all day, all night. Now, they didn't ever exchange money and they never exchanged anything, although when I was chatting to my father about this just the other day, he said to me that back in his home village in Kozani, just out of Kozani, the men would sit around the gafenia playing backgammon. In those days, they didn't have money, so they used to gamble for dried beans. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they would gamble for things like coffee or a drink or something else. So in a sense, it's always been part of the way in which men have relaxed in their communities, is to meet, socialise together and have a game. Now, back here in Melbourne, I recall as a very young child, there were gafenia everywhere. You know, I grew up in the western suburbs, so Yarraville had a series of gafenia. There were gafenia in Sunshine, where a number of our relatives lived, and plenty more gafenia in Brunswick and Coburg, again, where my mother's sort of extended family ended up residing. So there were gafenia everywhere, and, you know, there are always reports about money being exchanged under the table, but it was nothing that was ever really overt because it was illegal as well to gamble in those days. Now, coming forward, that I don't think has changed that much. The settings have changed. Now, you know, I go to Paran Central, and if you go to Paran Central, you'll see the Greeks sitting around in the central plaza playing backgammon and sometimes even playing cards. Now, again, I don't think money's exchanged, but this notion of participating in board games and card games has been part of our culture. If you take it back a little bit, the way in which we celebrate New Year, historically, you know, Greeks would sit around playing card games to see the new year through. That's a very popular way for Greek people to see the new year through. And it's all about investing in your luck and seeing the new year through and seeing what sort of luck your new year will have. It's not part of what we did, but it's part of what our sort of extended family members do. And it's part of what happens in Greece. And it still very much happens in Greece. And certainly amongst newly imported younger Greek people as well, who still do enjoy playing cards on New Year's Eve.
Can you tell us, Louise, what more can we do to break the gambling habit?
The foundation, of course, is much more concerned with the stigma and harm that might come from gambling, and that's really what we focus on. Very importantly, we have services which can assist people if they do get into severe harm. They're called Gamblers Help Services, although we provide a number of these in different languages, and we have interpreting services which are available for free. Sometimes people feel the stigma and the shame so strongly from gambling that, and it, particularly if they get into severe difficulties, they may not feel able to ask for assistance or help. And so it's very important that we have many different ways that people can seek help. So, for example, we also have materials online on our website in different languages. We have online tools and applications that people can use to sort of understand a bit more about their own behaviour and what's happening for them, and perhaps the stress they might be feeling that might be occasioning them to gamble more. We have culled grants which assist different cultural groups to think about creating alternatives to gambling. Sometimes people might go to a venue for gambling purposes, and they may feel they don't have anywhere else to go. So it's creating alternative and choice for people to be able to pick different ways of engaging or different ways of seeking entertainment to be able to do this. So we use quite a lot of our money for that. We also use a lot of our resources, very importantly, for research. We are an evidence-based organisation, so we only really act on the basis of what the evidence tells us. And I'd have to say that while there has been some research in different culled communities, very, very little, really. And so for us, we've existed for the last 5.5 years. It is an important area for us to really build our evidence base in understanding the different experiences for people in culled communities, including the Greek community, in relation to gambling. The other point I should probably make is with some communities, of course, the experience of migration or the way in which they experience a life in Australia, whether it's a new life or whether it's a life that comes from the 1950s and then is transplanted, might also cause them to be somewhat troubled in their life. So all of these things are relevant to us.
And these people are really hard to get online and get all these tools that you were mentioned before.
Yes.
So
yes.
They've been complaining about that. Like, there are many tools out there, but they cannot access internet. You know, they don't know the way to do it.
Yes.
It's really hard for them to.
Yes.
So they prefer to have someone like to talk to?
Yes, and of course we must always have those face-to-face services, and we do in fact have those because we recognise that not everybody is digitally, you know, as digitally competent as we would want to be.
And in fact, the Pronya project is exactly doing that.
Exactly.
It's actually sending out community education workers to talk to groups of senior citizens all over the northern suburbs and the southeastern corridor, and very successfully. In fact, anecdotally, again, I heard some feedback through my father that he had heard some people had been to one of these sessions, and he couldn't wait to get to his session when it came out to the West.
I should say too that the foundation's an independent statutory agency, but we have a minister who is Minister Marlene Carruz, and she is particularly interested in children and families and in culled communities. We're very aware of that in terms of what she's been sort of committing some of her time to.
Do you have any support from the casinos or from the clubs, Victoria, in all these initiatives?
Not financial support, but we work with them. So we very much believe that gambling, when it is causing harm, is something that the community needs to come together around, and that we need to work with a whole range of different groups. So communities, with local government, with government, with industry, with community organisations. Very, very important that we do that pretty thoroughly.
And of course, our board is reflects our multicultural community as well. Mm. Our chair, for example, has a Hungarian background.
Yes.
Our deputy chair has an Indigenous Aboriginal background, and there's at least a couple of Greeks now on the board.
That's right.
That's
true. And we, of course, partner. We're very keen on partnering with cold organisations in particular. And yesterday I was at the Multicultural Centre for Women's Health, for example. So we're very interested in really learning from culled communities about the sorts of interventions they say would work, not just sitting back and saying, well, here's what you can have. It's about saying, look, tell us what would work so we can think about how we can be more innovative in our granting, in our working with, and how we can more thoroughly address the needs that these communities would have.
Tass, what's the worst gambling story you have ever heard?
Well, the story that I've never forgotten is one that I heard as a child, actually. There were instances where there were extended members of our family, and usually people from my father's village or my mother's village, and there were stories told about them, you know, gambling away their property and their family home. But the one that's really stood with me forever is where I heard my mother telling this story about, perhaps to one of her sisters, so I overheard the story, that this particular man who was gambling gambled away his wife. That to me really stood as being one of those, you know, very, very sad sort of experiences, you know, something that I've never forgotten. So that's my saddest story.
Mm. Louise?
I have the privilege of meeting with a lot of people with lived experience of gambling. So there are many stories that I could tell you in relation to that. But I suppose I think the stories that I find most disturbing are when there's gambling mixed perhaps with some family violence or mental illness or a range of perhaps alcohol and drug use. So it's a very complex set of problems, and watching what happens when people realise that their family and their relationships have broken down, and perhaps, you know, the sort of the platform that made life very much worth living for them is not as strong as it was.
And the last question is, how can we help someone if we think it's a gambling addict?
Look, I think it is really, really important that we care for each other, and that we firstly notice the signs that someone might be having a bit of in a bit of grief, having a bit of trouble. They might be signs such as disassociation, you know, becoming more isolated, perhaps being short of money unexplainably, inexplicably, all of those sorts of things give us a bit of a tip. I think the most important thing we can do is to reach out to someone, to try and have the talk in a way to actually, you know, be able to do that, and to be able to very much help them deal with often the shame that they might be feeling. So by reaching out, you're saying, okay, we can be in this together. And it's a caring, it's recognising where the person is at and really trying to assist in some way. I think the other really important point is not to blame people, to actually assist and help, and to really, you know, work with them through their issues, and seek professional help, because there's a lot of professional help available, and there's no time limit to how much professional help people can seek. Really very important to do. I don't know, Tess, if you'd add something to that.
Well, I would say that encourage people to contact our Gamblers Helpline.
Yes.
And I don't know the number off the top of my head.
It's 1-800-558-858.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Bunnels. So I would encourage people to take advantage of those services. And if you can't speak English clearly, you'll get a translator. It'll be okay.
Beautiful.
And also Pronia. Pronia is designed to support the Greek community and is funded by the Responsible Gambling Foundation to do just that.
It was my pleasure to have you here today, CEO of Victoria Responsible Gambling Foundation, Louise.
Lovely. Thank you.
And Tass Mousaferiades.
Thank you very much for having us
Thank
here.
You guys.
Thanks
Thank
for the opportunity.
Απολαύστε περισσότερα θέματα στη γλώσσα σας. Επισκεφτείτε την ιστοσελίδα sbs.com.au/Greek.